Two remnants, one saved before the seventh trump, one saved during the seven vials of wrath. Those are two different remnants. 144,000 Jews, born again remnant as part of 2 million Jews. Please see archive prophecy update diagram number 320. And I'm going to make another one for you. It'll be a lot simpler on just showing where the 144,000 are and different things like that. I'm going to try to make that up for Sunday morning if I have time. Okay, and it'll be simple. It'll be just straight line stuff. And it won't have a lot of different things on it like this one does. It'll just associate it with why I believe that there is a split rapture, but it's not between the first of the week and the last of the week, and that's all I'll do with it. But this was a conclusion I came to it wouldn't fit any other way. And so finally I said, okay, that has to be it. And then I started looking, and sure enough, it was. Revelation 12 and 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Hey, I can see that without my glasses, but not very well. Okay, Acts 2, 20, 21. Now, because of this scripture, that I know that there are going to be saved people here. After the first of what they call the first of the week, what they call the last 7 years, the tribulation period. Actually, there are only 1,335 days left in the tribulation period, and I've covered that in great detail in the past. It says in Acts 2:20-21, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are going to be people saved in the tribulation period. Because the sun is turned into darkness on the sixth seal, and the moon becomes blood on the sixth seal. That is the great and notable day of the Lord that it's talking about there. And so if it was and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So after there's saved people here when the sixth seal is opened. And if it was the first of the week, it would be back where they say it is when it says the Lord said to the people, come up hither. That doesn't have a thing in the world to do with the rapture. And it's just ridiculous to use it. But preachers have taught that for so long that people just automatically assume that's it. But it doesn't fit in context, and it's wrong. He's not talking to the two witnesses back there, but he is talking to the people here that are still here when the sun has turned into darkness. The moon is turned into blood, and this happens before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So they're down here on earth, and it's the sixth seal, and we're going through the tribulation period. What's going to happen in that part of the time? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. Now, you can't fit it any other way. They're down here. So anybody says, well, they're going out the first of the week, and they all use that scripture where it says, back in the first part of Revelation where it says, come up hither. And they say, well, that's talking to all the saved. Come up hither. That's ridiculous. It's not in the context. It doesn't fit at all. Well, you say, why do people believe that? They want to believe it. You say, well, Brother McElberry, if you had a choice between going out the first of the week or the seventh trumpet, which one would you pick? Oh, I'd pick the first of the week. Because my carnal man would love that. He would love it. He'd love to be here. He doesn't even believe all this stuff. You say, oh, that's not possible. Well, then I haven't got a carnal nature anymore. I've already been glorified. Okay. Matthew 24, 21, 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. They are going to be shortened for the elect's sake. The elect are saved. So, for the elect's sake, they're going to be shortened. How much? Oh, probably about 45 days. I think there'll be somewhere, I don't know exactly how, but about 45 days between. Look at that diagram. I went and computed all this stuff, rechecked it, cross-checked it, double-checked it, I don't know, 100 times. 45 days. Yeah, you see it right over there. You've got the rapture occurs, the 144,000 go out, and then you've got 45 days between the rapture and the end of the tribulation period. So that's how long? About 45 days. You say, you think exactly 45 days? I can't really say, because you know they've changed the calendar so many times that they've used different calendars that with different lengths of days as far back as you can go. If you go back and start checking all those calendars, and I believe that Jesus was born about 4 years before the most people believe. And I also believe that some of the scholars that have gone back and looked into all this, and they're not lost or anything, they believe he could have been born 7 years before they say he was. Because all that shifting around in those different calendars by the different groups of people, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, and the Romans, primarily the Romans, and Greek. Lord have mercy, you can't hardly tell what the actual day was of any of this stuff. But you can pick out some stuff, but you really have a hard time doing that. And I picked out what I could and was certain of, but I believe Jesus was born about 4 years before they say he was. I don't know if that's the truth, so I'm not teaching you anything. I'm not teaching you heresy. I'm just teaching you those calendars back there. Good Lord, they change them around so many times, you can't hardly tell them. So is this a regular 360-day year? Is this a regular 365 and a quarter day year? What is it? That's why you can't tell the day, the week, the month, the year. That's one of the reasons. He says, and this, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We are not going through the seven vials of wrath. God promised that his children would not suffer wrath. And God meant exactly what he said. But you got to define wrath for me. And wrath are the seven vials of wrath. And we are not going to be here because the rapture occurs on the blowing of the seventh trumpet, and then come the seven vials of wrath. Everything I'm telling you makes sense and it fits. And everything that God puts out is supposed to fit. And I just followed his lead and what he put in here. And then I just said, okay, if that's true, then this has to be true. This has to be true. This has to be true. Okay. But and what about no flesh be saved? Well, there won't be any flesh saved when the seventh trumpet sounds. But after that, in the remnant that remains, some of those people that are in the flesh will be saved. But they won't go into they won't be raptured. In other words, they won't get saved one day. Ah, here we go up. What happened to old Charlie? It won't be that way. It'll be that, what does it say? Does it not say that all Israel shall be saved? Well, you better believe every one of them that's left in the remnant in that last bunch, you better believe they're going to believe. And when Jesus comes back, they're going to go in flesh. And they're going to have a little opportunity to go in and do what we had to do and fight against it for the whole time that they were there in the millennial reign. But they're going to be in the flesh. They're going to be just as saved as you and I are. But for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. And the ten horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue three kings. I'm not going to tell you I know who these three kings are. But I'm going to tell you, I firmly believe that Egypt is one of them. And I also believe that Saudi Arabia is one of them. He's going to subdue them. He's going to come down and conquer them. He's going to completely surround Egypt. And he's going to wipe them out. I mean, not going to wipe them out, but he's going to conquer them. He's not going to just put them in there and say, well, I'm not going to attack you anymore. He will conquer them. They will be a conquered people. And the other one, Saudi Arabia, man, he hates them. And he also hates Egypt. And when he gets down there, he's going to completely, all the kings are going to flee quick as they can get away, and he's going to take over all of Saudi Arabia. Well, who's the next one? Well, if you can count running the descendants of Edom, Moab, and Ammon, which is known today as Jordan, if you can consider them running into the Negev, if you consider them fleeing into the Negev wilderness and being entrapped there with Israel for the last part of the tribulation period. This is the 144,000 that gets raptured out. If you can figure them going down there and being a part of that group, they're Semitic, at least they are all basically Semitic, but particularly Jordan, the central part of it. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Okay, and he shall subdue three kings. Okay, I feel very confident about Egypt. I feel very confident about Saudi Arabia. For all practical purposes, he's already taken over Lebanon. Lebanon could be the one, but they're going to be one of the toes. They're part of Greater Syria. I suspect it will be what we call Jordan today. But they will flee, and he will conquer them, and he shall subdue their land where they were and be in control of it. So that's what I think. It's not what I know. But I would, if I was a betting man, I'd bet money on Egypt and Saudi Arabia. But I wouldn't get in a poker game over Jordan. Matthew 14, okay, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. This is when he stands up and claims to be God. This is the abomination of desolation that stands up on the Temple Mount. This occurs, and that's when the rapture occurs, shortly after the three witnesses go up, not too far after. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and wear out the saints of the Most High. He's going to wear them out. Matter of fact, he's going to kill the two witnesses. Now, what's he going to try to do to these people and think to change times and laws? Well, what are the times and the laws? That's what's determined by Sharia law. They determine the times. They determine the laws. They determine when you worship and when you don't worship. They depend. The times are when you bow down before Allah. And the Israelites had fixed times for their feasts and festivals to start when you came to, you worshiped God, and on the sounding of the trumpet, and that was sounded when the first person that came to and proved that the new moon was there, then you started the festival. Think to change times and laws, and the laws of Sharia, they're trying to put them in already. And the Antichrist will put them in everywhere he has conquered. He will not be able to change the laws of Israel because of the pressure that's put on him by the free world itself. And most of them don't like him. They don't like Israel already. But some of them, like the United States and like Australia and like Great Britain and a couple of others, Canada, you would think that the pressure that he doesn't control the whole world, absolutely control it. And so because of the commotion it would actually take. I'm trying to think like a military man. I'm trying to think like I would as somebody that had graduated from military school and was trying to apply what he had learned. And you don't do things all at once. You do it gradually and slowly and over a period of time. And they shall be given into his hand for a time. That's 1 year. Times, that's 2 years. And the dividing of time, that's half a year. That's 3.5 years. That's the last 3.5 years, the tribulation period. There will be 1,260 days left in the tribulation period when the actual attack occurs, when Israel is driven into the Negev, I'll put it that way. Matthew 24:15. This is the abomination of desolation. It's not a statue. It's a man claiming to be God. And it occurs when the actual two prophets are killed by the Antichrist. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. The end's going to come when he stands up and claims to be the Antichrist and claims to be Christ himself. When you there shall see the abomination of desolation, what makes it desolate? He claims to be God. He claims to be God himself. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Daniel said he would. And it's a human. It's not a statue. Stand in the holy place. Where is the holy place? It's on the Temple Mount. And he's going to stand there in his apoden. That is not the rebuilt temple. The temple is not going to be rebuilt until after the Lord comes. You say, well, he's going to get you for saying that. No, he's not going to get me for saying that. If he's going to get anybody, he's going to get somebody that didn't believe that. Because the Bible is very clear that the temple will not be rebuilt before Jesus returns. Stand in the city place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Well, back when this was written, I think a lot of people understood a lot more than they do about some prophecies. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself he is God. Okay, that's the Naos. That's the holy place. That's the sanctuary. Now let's take a look at, is the temple going to be rebuilt before the Lord comes? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I don't know why people I don't know why preachers don't look at this and understand it. And he shall plant the tabernacles. That word there is tent, the tents. You say, well, it could mean something else. Oh, no, can't mean anything else. This isn't one where you say to go or not to go, to smile, to blow your nose, and at the same time, in that case, 5,000 or 6,000 other things. This means tents, T-E-N-T-S, not T-E-N-S-E. The tents of his palace. That word palace is not temple. The word is apodan. Apodan. The word for temple is naos. This is not the temple. And they use this and they say, well, it's in the seas between the glorious holy mountain. It sure is. What it is Mount Moriah. It's where the temple's set. So what does tabernacles mean? Tents. Are you positive? Absolutely positive. Of his palace. Apodan. Well, what in the world is an apodan? Well, all the kings of Israel used it. And before them, they used it all the way back before the Bible was ever even started to be written. This is something that had been in effect when Moses was born. It was something that was there when the people before Moses were born. What was it? Well, the first king we find in the Bible was Nimrod. Well, there was old Nimrod. So what did all the kings start to do? They developed a battle tent. What is a battle tent? Well, if the king goes to the front, he does like Hitler did. Hitler went into and started a wolf's lair and stayed in that wolf's lair to the west of Poland. And he stayed there until the Russian troops finally got over there and he had to leave. But what was that? That was an apodan. You say, well, it wasn't a tent. Well, this tells you this was a tent. And that's what they normally used as a battle tent. What did they do? Well, they carried it with them. You say, well, who did that? Oh, the kings of Persia, the kings of Greece, the Roman kings, how far back do I have to go? The Assyrian kings, the Egyptian kings, they carried it with them. And what was it? It was a battle tent. Well, what was it? It was a place where the ruler sat. It was a place where he directed the battle. Hitler directed the battle, and that's why they lost. There's other reasons, but from his wolf's lair. He directed it. He decided. He was no more a general than Moody's goose. I could have done a better job than he did. I would at least consider what they were going to wear when they went over there. That's the first thing they teach you in school, in a command school. That's the first thing they teach you, that you have to keep your troops well equipped, and you have to keep your line of equipment open, and you have to take in the whole weather situation in conjunction with it. And Hitler was no more a general than a Moody's goose. But this apodan, you can look it up for yourself if you've got it. It means the battle tent where the king sits. He's going to set himself up as a king. And he said, well, what is he going to do? Well, I just told you. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he himself setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, the temple is not going to be rebuilt until after Jesus Christ returns. So this is the Naos. Sometimes it means a temple made the temple made of mortar and stone. Sometimes it means a temple that was made of a Naos in the heart and things of that nature. So But when you get to this Apidan, you don't have that problem. And that's why the word Apidan was used, so you wouldn't get it mixed up with something else. And lo and behold, men got it mixed up with something else. Okay. And shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the glorious, the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet shall he come to his end, and none can help him. They can't help him because he's about to be replaced. This is the very end of the tribulation period. The very end of just before the rapture occurs. And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince standeth for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as there never was since the nation, even at that same time. Here is where that last vial is poured out. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Which ones? Every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, the reason that I had a lot of trouble, and I had to work around this, was in the book of Malachi. Now, I'm a Jew, and Malachi was a Jew. But he was a Jew in the flesh, and I'm not a physical Jew. I'm a spiritual Jew. But Malachi, he was a spiritual Jew. The only thing is, we don't have the same bloodline. Malachi 3:16-18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's what we're doing right now. That's what we do when we sit down and talk about this. That's what Anna Mae did when she came up here and asked me the question. That's why Robert's so good at asking those questions. And don't be embarrassed if you don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to all of them. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. Well, who's the Lord hearkening to now? I'll tell you who it is. It's the people that spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. That's what's happening. How does the Lord speak to you? Through the Word, through the Word, through the Word, through the Word, through the Word. And the Lord speaks to you through His Word by His Spirit. And that's what we're doing right now, looking at His Word. And I'm telling you this, and you're going to decide, is that right or is that wrong? Which one am I going to believe? Well, I'm giving you something you can believe and something I believe to be correct. And that's the best I can do. And hearken and heard it. They accepted it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. You know when I got saved, what happened? I feared the Lord. And I had, for 4 years, I was scared to death going to hell. Then all of a sudden, and that thought upon his name, I thought upon his name for 4 years, and all of a sudden, I knew when he ascended that hill and got on that cross, it was his blood that was shed for me, and I could not do anything to save myself. I just threw myself on his mercy, and I asked him to save me. You say, well, it takes more than that. You have to be sincere. Brother, I was sincere. I didn't want to go to hell, and that's about as sincere as you can get. And they shall be mine. Doesn't it say that the Lord came and isn't it taught? I think it's the 25th chapter of Matthew, but I'm not sure of the chapter, where the Lord found a treasure. And when he found that treasure, he went and sold all he had and bought it. He emptied himself, according to the scriptures. Doesn't it say that there was also a pearl of great price? And he also did that for the pearl of great price. Saith the Lord of hosts, in the day that I make up my jewels. In that jewel is a pearl of great price. It's called the New Testament church. And I will spare them. He will spare all of them, both those that are the jewels and a pearl of great price, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So why should you serve the Lord after he saves you? Good grief, he died for you. Good grief, he keeps you. Good grief, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Good grief, you can't lose. Thank good God you can't lose your salvation. And the question is, and his own son that serveth him, are you serving the Son? Am I serving the Son? It's what I do for the Son, who is God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, ekpesike, from the soul as unto the Lord, and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Why are you here tonight? Wasn't it a part of you that would like to just slip in? Well, sometimes there's a part of me that likes to sleep in. Then shall ye return? We're coming back. He's coming back. We're going to be judged in heaven. the jewels, pearl of great price, all of us are going to be judged. It's going to be determined which one you were, what kind of jewel you were, what the brilliance of your body will be, what the light will be, the degree of it that shows out, and whether you will live in the city or outside the gates. That's all going to be determined. That's his treasure. And among it is the pearl of great price. And discern between the righteous and the wicked. Well, thank goodness we don't have to do that now. That's why he said, judge ye not. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged yourself. We tend to judge other people and other beliefs and other groups quite harshly. That's not our job. Our job is to teach the truth. Our job is to preach and teach the truth and to practice it between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, there's nothing more important than serving God after you're saved. So the first thing that's necessary is to get scripturally baptized. It's amazing how people fight against that. Even though I know they're saved, they've been sealed. They can't lose their salvation. You can usually convince them of that, but you can't convince them of much more. He says, and except these days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Revelation 12:12-14. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And the dragon saw that he was cast down into the earth, and persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Remember how I showed you the other night, where Israel didn't bring forth the Messiah, and all they brought forth was wind? You remember that? Don't think all those people went to hell. A lot of them did, probably most of them, but I'm not the judge of that. I just know that a lot of them didn't go to hell. Not the whole bunch. We had brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. If there is any place in the Bible that refers to places like the United States, Great Britain, Canada, and Australia, and I could name a couple of others, that she might fly into the wilderness. Part of Israel is going to have to be airlift. And this eagle there, I think, represents, but it's used in other places where Israel is delivered that way. Not many, I think one other. And so, where is Israel located? 70% of them are all the way from Haifa down to the end of the coastline of Israel. Not all the way down to the Negev or any of that stuff, but 70% of the population is in there. I've been over there. I can see it. You ought to go over there and drive along that coastline. Man, it looks like New York City. Into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Who's this eagle? Well, it's people that nourish her and feed her and keep her in the Negev. The Antichrist isn't going to attack the United States. He's not going to attack the nations that are strong enough to fight back. You've got nothing to be concerned about, except he will have tremendous influence in this country. And he will have tremendous world influence. There'll only be a handful of nations that still think they should protect Israel. But there will be. And the Antichrist, is not interested in conquering them. He's going to have to build himself up a lot before he does that, and he knows it. He's no fool. Now listen, if you're going to be somebody that goes through a military school, you ought to learn what they have to say. And the most important thing is to realize that what you have and what the other side has, and to be sure that you have enough. I think old Stonewall Jackson said it. Them what wins is the ones that gets their firstest with the mostest. And that's about the size of it. Now I learned that in the military academy. But it's the truth. Now the thing about this is, this is not something that's a long, long way off. And I'm keeping you over, but you'll have to forgive me. Let's see. Well, you don't have to forgive me. Okay. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, seeing the waves roarings, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking for those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power, with power and great glory. Now, I believe that particular verse of Scripture applies to what we're going to see ourselves, but not to the extent that they are. And he says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. I think this verse 21, 25 to 27, yes, I think we're going to go through all the way up to the seventh trumpet. But I think this stuff that's going to come down in the vials of wrath is nothing but pure hell itself. And so I don't recommend hanging around for that. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, and the remnant of his brethren shall return with the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. You say, okay, that means the whole world. No, that means the world at that time. You know what the whole world was to them? Went as far over maybe as Afghanistan, although I doubt it went that far. As far as they knew the world, the people knew the world. And it went as far over as Mediterranean Sea, as far down in Africa as to the middle of Africa, and everything north of the Sahara Desert they knew about. It meant all of Europe as it was known. That was the whole world. You say, no, it means the whole world now. Listen, God gave us enough credit to realize that he had to write this to people of every day. He wrote it to them. And I hope he gave us credit for having enough sense. He wasn't talking about the whole world, that it was going to exist at the time it came. But most people don't. But it was the whole world. To them, that was the whole world. I don't think we're going to have a lot of trouble over here in tribulation period. I think we're going to have a lot of trouble like they're going to have over in Europe and North Africa and the places that was the world at the time that the book of Revelation was written. I don't believe we're going to have that kind of trouble, but I do believe he'll have I believe he do have tremendous influence over here. I think we're going to have riots. I think people are going to be killed. I think it's going to be a chaos and time, bloodshed like we've never known before. I think the enemy's going to be over here among us. I think we're going to die. We're going to have earthquakes. We're going to have famine. We're going to have a pestilence, but not to the extent that they're going to have it in the known world when the book of Revelation was written. Boy, if that's not true, I've got a lot of problems at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. This, you'll find this in Zechariah 14, 8 and 9. Half of them toward the former sea, that's the Kadmoni Sea, that's the Dead Sea. And half of them toward the Hinder Sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea. In summer and winter shall it be. It means it will flow perpetually. Why did he put that in there? In summer and winter shall it be. Because most of the creeks, probably about 80% of them, dry up in the summertime. And these were going to be perpetual. And that's the one that's found in the book of Zechariah in chapter 43 and 47. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And now, you want to get down to what this means? Over all the earth in that day. Not in that day that this was written, but in that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. That's when that will be. And he will be on earth. And at that time, this is where the living waters will go. And so if you want to put it over the whole earth, Jesus has returned. He's here. The Antichrist is not in control. And he is over the whole earth as we know it. Not as it was known in the days of the Lord. You said, well, I don't care what you think. I'm telling you, I've got to teach that because I don't have any really other option. He says, and it shall come to pass that everyone of all the nations that come to Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the millennial reign. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth in Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, upon him there shall be no rain. If they don't get any rain in Egypt, they're going to be sorry, like Charlie Brown that got the rock in his sack. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not and have no rain, there shall be the plague. You're going to be sick when you start getting hungry and when you don't have much to eat. Wherein the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is going to be enforced. You say, what are we going to be doing up there? I honestly think we're going to be enforcing it, but we'll just have to wait and see. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the way it's going to be. You're finally going to get to be a mean, Ken.
Payback.
And the and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest. This is the millennial reign. As a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, and but both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. We're not going to have an enemy in the world. And Israel, the ones that are still down here in the flesh, and the ones that are born during the millennial reign, they're not going to have any either until the end of the millennial reign. Then they're going to have lots of trouble. Robert, you want to dismiss us?